your expectation from me today is to declutter what's happened with the patents on COVID-19 vaccines. Because late last night, we saw a statement from Catherine Tai, the US ambassador to United Nations, saying that the Biden-Harris administration had decided to support the policy of lifting patent protection on all COVID vaccines. Some of them, three of the big key vaccines in the world, are those that were invented or designed by American companies. That is Pfizer, Moderna, the two messenger RNA vaccines, and also Johnson & Johnson, the third vaccine from America, which is now in the market. So this was a major step, and I know that all of you are expecting that today I will explain to you exactly what does it mean and how quickly does it mean these vaccines will start being available globally, widely, but definitely in India. In fact, that is what is our concern right now, because India right now, there is no point living in denial. India is really short of vaccines. After having announced almost a universal vaccination policy, India finds that its cupboard is bare. India does not have enough vaccines, far from enough. So any new vaccines will help. Now, I will not come up to your expectations today. I will not be able to come up to your expectations because, if I may put it lightly, this has been a little out of my syllabus, in the sense that this happened all of a sudden last night. Now, patent law is very complex. Following the patent law, what comes? That is, how does patent law then lead to the production of generics? Because that is the whole idea, that once patents are lifted, then other companies can produce generics at much cheaper prices. Remember, for example, statins, which a lot of people above the age of 45, if not 40 these days, because physicians are becoming more and more aggressive, and they want us to keep working till our 80s, if not 90s. People are being given statins. So statins first were invented or developed by Pfizer, the same company which has now developed the messenger RNA vaccine. Now, Pfizer had the patent, but after a while, the patent was lifted and then generics were produced. While we are on Pfizer, I can also tell you that Viagra, the drug, was first developed by Pfizer. It was on patent. Pfizer made a lot of money, as it had done with statins, but once the patents were lifted, these began to be produced as generics. That's happened to most antibiotics and many other things. These are called small molecule drugs. Now, that is a new thing I have learned. So I am learning new things. I will talk very briefly on this today and maybe talk about it in more detail in a couple of days when I know better, and when my young colleagues who helped me find out the truth by giving me great research, they are able to read up a little bit more. Also, by then, WTO, World Trading Organization, would have taken a call on this, so we will know what's happening. So I will just tell you briefly what I've picked up from one expert in the field and leave it with you to revisit it later. And the rest of the Cut the Clutter today, we will shift to politics. Politics means domestic politics, state's politics. In that state also, the most grassroots politics possible, that is the politics of panchayat elections. And before you ask me, why should I bother as a viewer to know what's happening in panchayat politics in some district of some state of India, or panchayat elections in some districts of some state of India, I will tell you what state it is. It is a state called Uttar Pradesh, and what has happened there is that panchayat elections have produced a surprise result. And the surprise result is that it does look like the ruling party, the BJP, which had got a massive majority in the state assembly in 2017, and which government goes for re-election in just about a year from now, that BJP has suffered a setback, and Samajwadi Party, which was the incumbent before Yogi Adityanath became chief minister, or BJP came to power and anointed Yogi Adityanath the chief minister. He was not announced as chief ministerial candidate before the elections. That Samajwadi Party has done very well, is the front runner. Now, these are very massive elections. They go on for some time, results keep trickling in. A lot of the candidates are independent, but we can see that from whatever results and trends have come so far, that Samajwadi Party is way ahead of the BJP. In fact, if you see the story from Prashant Srivastav, our correspondent in Lucknow, he tells us that by Wednesday evening, 779 seats had been won by Samajwadi Party, 579, that is 200 less had been won by the BJP. So 779, 579, BSP had 361, Congress had 59, I believe it's gone up to 70. Similarly, even Aam Aadmi Party has gone up to nearly 70. So you can make that comparison, Congress Party and Aam Aadmi Party. Also, the party launched by Chandrasekhar Azad, the new Dalit leader, the young Dalit leader, that also fielded some candidates and they've also won some seats. But the fact is that Samajwadi Party is ahead of the BJP. Now, first of all, let me tell you what is the scale of this election. I know that conclusions will be drawn and people will draw the conclusion that suits them. So those who like Yogi Adityanath and BJP, they will say this means nothing. These are just panchayat elections. This was not a vote for or against Modi or for or against Yogi. So what's the big deal? Those who do not like Yogi Adityanath and the BJP, they will say, read the writing on the wall. It's written there because BJP had swept everything in 2017. Cities, small towns, kasbas, villages, everything. Because if villages had not voted for BJP, they would not have got such a humongous majority in the state assembly. Again, in national parliament elections in 2019, BJP swept almost everything in the state. Now, within 2 years of parliament elections, if you are seeing this kind of a buzz from rural Uttar Pradesh, that BJP is being rejected and Samajwadi Party is winning. And in fact, if you add Samajwadi Party plus BSP or Samajwadi Party plus even Congress, then the gap becomes even larger. So this is something for BJP and Yogi Adityanath to worry about and something for the opposition to rejoice. And maybe this means that next year's election will not be as much of a cakewalk as BJP may have expected it to be. So coming immediately on the heels of the West Bengal result, the big BJP defeat in West Bengal, or the big setback because BJP had put so much investment in West Bengal, this looks like a second setback, a 1-2 punch, right? So you can see it any which way. There is a danger of over-interpreting these elections. And the danger is, as I said, you can make the conclusion that suits you. At the same time, there is fact, there are facts, and there is data which we must look at. So we'll come to that. Going back to the patent issue, all I can do for you is I will share a bunch of tweets put out by Julien Potet. Julien Potet works for the big French NGO charity called Medicine Sans Frontiers, Doctors Without Borders. And he has put out this 9-part tweet saying what will happen now and what needs to happen now if this American decision is to lead to easy availability, quick and easy availability of not just vaccines, but treatments for COVID-19 to actually bring about some relief to the world. So see his 9 tweets. I will share all of them to you. But essentially what he is saying, that it's one thing now, even if this American decision leads to WTO formally lifting the patents, then he says the first thing it will require is investments. Countries, companies have to invest in recipient companies who will receive this technology from the patent owning companies. So they should be able to manufacture these, setting up manufacturing facilities, getting raw materials, producing enough. That will need quick investment. And then maybe corporates will make those investments, maybe private equity will make those investments, but also governments will need to make those investments. So you will need investments, plus you will need the giver company, the originator company that owns the patent, say Pfizer in case of their vaccine, or Moderna in case of their vaccine, or Johnson & Johnson. So company that is the originator of the vaccine and the recipient of the vaccine. A mechanism will have to be set up. The originator company should be willing to give it, and then this exchange has to take place and somebody has to facilitate this exchange. And he points out that WHO actually has set up such a facility, such a center. And for that, he has given us a link, which I am sharing with you also, of an article from sciencemag.org. This is the exchange center that WHO had set up. in anticipation of these patents being lifted. But second point that he makes very importantly, he says that while this happens, US has not gone far enough to also say that they will support the lifting of patents on at least those drugs for COVID-19 that are still on patent. For example, Remdesivir, it is baricitinib, but Remdesivir is the more prominent one, the more familiar one. He wants US government also to say that patents should be lifted from these, because there he makes distinction between small molecule drugs and large molecule drugs. So these are small molecule molecular drugs where a generic manufacturer, once he doesn't have to or she doesn't have to fear about patents being enforced, can reverse engineer the molecule. That's how statins, that's how say Viagra, that's how so many of these other things got reverse engineered. So many HIV drugs, antiretrovirals, they got reverse engineered and they got built like that. So these small molecule drugs can be reverse engineered. What cannot be reverse engineered, he mentions, are large molecule drugs like monoclonal antibodies. Roche has some of those. Trump had received when he had fallen sick, because these need cell lines, availability of cell lines. We had once done a full cut the clutter on this, that you then have to have those cells, and then you have to, one cell, you have to then clone it many times. So that is a different complication, but he says these things need to be done. So I will leave it here. We'll wait for the WTO decision, and we will also wait for clarity from likely Indian manufacturers, etc., in terms of how confident do they feel about being able to do this. So I go back to my politics and UP, which is more up my street, but I can tell you also, or which is more in my syllabus, but I can also tell you that the data that I'm reading now on UP panchayat elections, I am learning something new also. What keeps me going is curiosity. And for me, the most joyful moment is when I discover something in particularly in areas that I see as areas of my knowledge or expertise, when I discover something that I knew nothing about. And that is the most fascinating thing about being a journalist. So I've now learned about these panchayat politics and panchayat elections in Uttar Pradesh. So among the many things I will share with you, there is also this explainer from the Indian Express, which gives us the numbers. It says it's such a humongous election, 13 lakh candidates, 13 lakh, 1.3 million candidates, 8 lakh posts are up in the election. These include 3,050 Zilla Panchayat posts, 75,000 Kshetra, that is like block Panchayat positions, and 7 lakh Gram Panchayat posts. So for these 8 lakh posts, elections take place. Of these, there are 58,176 Gram Panchayats, that are the villages that elect their panchayat or their village council. Of these, one is the pradhan, so becomes gram pradhan like a sarpanch, and the rest are like panchas. Now these are directly elected, so this is 7.32 lakh posts. These, then there are kshetra panchayats. Kshetra is like, it coincides with the block development or with a development block within a district. So generally 8 to 10 Kshetra Panchayats or Block Panchayats in a district. Each Block Panchayat or each Kshetra Panchayat has about 80 to 90 wards, which makes it about 76,000 positions. So those are also up in the election. And then you have Zilla Panchayats, and Zilla Panchayat chiefs are really powerful. So 75 districts, 75 Zilla Panchayats, they also have 350 wards. So some of it, a lot of it is done directly, and some are then elected. For example, Zilla Panchayat chiefs, etc., are then elected indirectly, which means people who are elected to the wards elect them. So that is how complex this exercise is. And this exercise took place between 15th April and the 29th April this year. And this was a very controversial election because state government did not want to hold it. Allahabad High Court enforced its orders and said hold it, because you are denying democracy at the ground. It just so happened that this election campaign took place at a time when COVID was really rising in Uttar Pradesh, And that has had its consequences. A lot of teachers who had been sort of drafted in to help with this election for election duty have fallen sick. A lot of them have unfortunately died. I will share with you a story that our reporter Jyoti Yadav did, a very heartrending story of one individual, one young woman teacher who was 8 months pregnant but was forced to go for an election duty, got COVID and died without even getting her treatment. So this election did, however, take place, and the results, I told you the larger results, and the larger results tell us how the BJP is behind, SP is ahead, BSP is behind the BJP, and others have also got some, and independents have got a lot of seats. So 1100 seats at this point, the total seats are 3050, as I told you. 1100 of those are like independents. Now each party is claiming that more of these independents are mine. UP panchayat elections are not held on party symbols, but the state election commission now allows parties to declare candidates as their supported candidates or samarthit pratyashi. So when we say BJP has won this many, BSP has won this many, SP has won this many, we look at their samarthit pratyashis or candidates supported by them. Now I will also give you some granular data from some key places, and some of these key places are important for the BJP. For example, the three most important religious places of the Hindus in Uttar Pradesh, that is Kashi, Mathura, Ayodhya, one associated with Lord Shiva, Lord Krishna, Lord Ram. Now if you look at these and Lucknow, the capital, see what has happened there. Now Varanasi, in Varanasi of the 40, Samajwadi Party has won 15, BJP has won only 7, BSP has got 5, Congress has got 5, 8 have gone to others, mostly independent. Then Ayodhya, again the guard of the BJP, in Parliament Assembly, BJP had swept all of these, no doubt. So that's why you have to make those comparisons. You can't just say this is only a panchayat election. Again, don't overread it, but don't also underread it. So Ayodhya of the 40, Samajwadi Party 17, BJP 8, BSP 4, and others again are struggling along, coming along 11. That is mostly independents. Lucknow of the 25, this is the constituency of Rajnath Singh, our defense minister, and very, very tall BJP leader. But really right now in politics, in BJP, it is Yogi and Narendra Modi who matter in elections, particularly in Uttar Pradesh. So 25 seats in Lucknow, of which Samajwadi Party has got 10, BJP has got just 3, and BSP has got 5, and rest independents, etc. have got. So all these key places, BJP has done poorly, SP and BSP have done better, mostly SP. Now Mathura, for example, Mathura is very important because Mathura is in the Jat belt. Mathura has a lot of Jat votes, it does not have many Yadav votes. And BJP has been winning the Mathura parliament seat by fielding Hema Malini there as a Jat Bahu, because she is the wife of Dharmendra, who is a Jat, although from Punjab, is a Punjabi Jat. Now in Mathura, BSP has won 12 out of 33, BJP has got 9 out of 33, so BJP is second, but Rashtriya Lok Dal RLD, the party of Chaudhary Ajit Singh who passed away today, they have also got 8 out of 33. So Mathura used to be the Garh of RLD, but there also BJP has not done so well. It had earlier defeated the RLD despite this being its Garh. Now it looks like RLD is catching up, at least in this panchayat poll. So voters are going back to their roots. They are not swayed by the appeal of Yogi Adityanath and the BJP government. This, mind you, is the fifth year of the Yogi government. So this is the election year. It has had 4 years to display its performance, and people, you cannot rule out the fact that people will be voting at least to some extent on that performance. Then you come further deeper into Western UP, Saharanpur, across the Yamuna from India, not that far. BSP 16 out of 49, BJP 14 out of 49, Congress 8 out of 49, and Azad Samaj Party, ASP, that is Chandrasekhar Azad's party, 2 out of 49. So if you see Congress getting some seats here, you also know there is a lot of Muslim vote here. So again in Saharanpur, and these are districts and areas that in parliament and assembly BJP had swept like a typhoon, tsunami, whatever you want to call it. Rashtriya Loktal, on the other hand, which had been again wiped out. In fact, this was a rare time in India's political history when Chaudhary Charan Singh's party did not have a single elected MP or MLA. In fact, the only MLA it had elected, I think from Chachrauli, in last assembly elections had also defected to the BJP. So right now, it did not have an MLA or an elected MP. That one in Baghpat has won 8 out of 20. BJP and Samajwadi Party have got 4 each. So you can see that some of these traditional parties in Uttar Pradesh are seeing some green shoots. And also the BJP under Yogi Adityanath, who was not the candidate people voted for. He was made chief minister as a surprise chief minister. So it looks like there is some degree of disillusionment. Once again, health warning, don't underread it, don't overread it, but also don't underread it. Reasons, there can be many, but you know, farm laws can be a reason. Say in Western UP, where the Tikath movement is concentrated, but also the management of COVID, rural distress, the lack of economic growth, because Yogi Adityanath, I mean, he's building a lot of heavy infrastructure that we can see. And there was a story that my colleague Moshmi Das Gupta did some time back about the massive expressway building in UP, which is quite impressive, by the way. You must give credit where it's due. Fantastic work. So, but besides that, the same reporter Moshmi Das Gupta had also given us a story, which I'm sharing with you, a story ran today on how angry rural people, villagers in UP are, because they are really in distress. Jobs are not there, growth is not there, and now COVID, there is no management, health system is collapsing, and they don't see their leaders, their MLAs, MPs are missing. So the clamor seems to be, mera neta kaha hai? So don't say that one story, I like one story, so I will take it. I don't like the other story, so I will call the reporter biased. One way or the other, because our reporters, good reporters, tell you what they see, and this is what the same reporter has seen. In fact, just to give you a larger data point about Uttar Pradesh, just on growth, and I know that many of my friends in the BJP get upset when I say so, and they say this is short-sighted and you are not seeing the big infrastructure changes that are taking place. I'm not denying that infrastructure changes, they are taking place. An airport is coming up across the Yamuna in Jewar, and also these highways are coming up. There is some industry also coming up, mainly in the Bundelkhand, Ghaziabad corridor. But larger question of economic growth. The last 2 years of Akhilesh Yadav, it looks like the economic growth in UP was picking up. So his last 2 years, 2015-16 and 16-17, GSDP, that is the state GDP, had grown by 8.85%, that is 2015-16, and 10.87%, that is 2016-17. Yogi Adityanath took over in March 2017, just as the new financial year was beginning. So 2017-18, it declined from 10.87% to 7.23%. You could have said that was the immediate payback or penalty for demonetization. So even if you discount that, things actually kept on getting worse. So his first year, 2017-18, was 7.23%. His second year, 2018-19, was 5.33%. And his third year, 2019-20, was 4.37%. So you can see the economic growth rate under him collapsed like this. And then the following year was the pandemic year. So let's not talk about that. So no, people are people. You can promise them anything you want. And it is possible that by next year, the environment will change in UP. Maybe polarization will kick back in. Maybe people will begin to see the temple in Ayodhya coming up. And you've already seen some little khitpit starting in Mathura and Varanasi. Some cases being filed here and there. One judge, one magistrate in Varanasi is asking ASI, Archaeological Survey of India, to carry out a survey at Gyanvapi Mosque. So these things happen for a purpose. These things don't happen purely coincidentally. So we don't know what will happen a year from now. But we can say that if you are reading the writing on the wall today, this writing on this writing is quite a dire warning, this panchayat election to UP government of the BJP.